It's Waddle and Sylvie.
Hi.
Follow us on the gram at Waddle and Sylvie and at ESPN _ Chicago. This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
Pull up your pants, take off the bra, and be a man.
Hey, girl.
Say what you just said.
I said I got spider tack on my fingers right now, I'm afraid, because I'm good for a good nose pick or a scratch every few minutes.
I got to hand it to Carmen. It was a good fun thing that they did today.
Don't touch that baseball.
He brought the sticky stuff in.
He
left some of it for us. It's called spider tack, right?
I think it's probably half the power of the pomade that you use.
Right.
Container.
This is my pomade.
Okay.
I'm like, why did Carmen bring in my pomade?
Right.
Because it's exactly that. We could talk about that a little bit later.
How's your spin rate?
My spin rate is normal because I don't enhance my spin rate.
No.
So I'm spinning at the same rate that I've always spun at.
Right. Now, look at you now trying to wipe it off of your hand. Now you touch the baseball. It's got spider tack on it.
Well, Carm was reading the warning label earlier, and it said to get the sticky stuff off, you have to use baby oil.
Or cut a finger off. Just get rid of your fingers.
Well, they said when you use this caution when it's on your skin, it will create skin problems.
What am I supposed to do now? I need to go to my nose to get it's allergy season. I need a pick. What am I going to do?
You know what baseball did, don't you? There's the whole stat. Bob Nightingale tweeted out that the batting averages are up, spin rates are down over the last week since the announcement. Hey, that we're stopping or we're going to start looking for it. They parked the empty cop car on the medium.
Yeah,
that's what they did, right? We've all fallen for it, right?
Of course, you slow down immediately.
You hit the brake.
That's what I said to Len when we talked to him.
And there's no driver. I know that. But, they're not busting. Just the warning of them saying, we could bust people. Oh, by the way, here's an empty cop car.
We call it a deterrent.
We're going to slow you guys down in this zone.
This is why my dumb ass asked that question. That when this became a thing, would players get out in front of it and legislate themselves, stop using it, and consequently, would we see a dip in some of the statistical analysis in terms of the domination that they have had collectively over hitters?
Yeah. Now the question becomes, have they stopped enough people from spinning, speeding, with the empty cop car where they don't have to start going out to the mound and, frisking people? Or is this just the start of it? Because they said in another week or two, I think, on the Cubs game yesterday, Buster was talking about that it's going to happen in the next week or two where they're truly going to start enforcing it.
Okay, I would ask you, using your analogy here, if you know the cop car does not have a police officer in it and there's no usable connected radar, aren't you going to continue to go back to the way you drove?
Fool me once, right? And then the next time you're like, that's an empty cop car right there.
So, that answers your question. If they're not going to put any teeth into this, then people will go back to using.
Yeah. So it was, what a great weekend. A fantastic weekend all the way around. Summer
Baseball
in the city. A full capacity in all of our lives going on now, too. 100%, not just the ballparks, everywhere. Really, in life, Wrigley Field was 35,000 strong. There are still some places, I guess, where they can't sell 100%. I think because the Cubs are not at 85% with the vaccination rate, that there are some of the family sections where the families sit where they have to be spaced out.
Right.
So whether you want to talk, there's still some Jason Hayward spoke about vaccine rates, 3-3-2-3-7-7-6. I'd like to go personally go after the baseball portion of what we saw. I'd rather talk about Cup Snakes. I'd rather talk about the great series coming up for the White Sox and what they continue to do and what Carlos Rodon, maybe the best. You can list off probably 10 great stories in Chicago baseball so far. You know, we've had the Patrick Wisdom and Mercedes and Kopech and
Cubs bullpen collectively.
Mike Chafin and Kimbrel.
Rodon.
But I think that was my point. I think Rodon's the best. I think Rodon's the best out of any of them.
You can make a great case for it. I mean, you really can. Because he was a second thought when the season began, right?
Well,
weren't the Cubs interested in trying to sign him?
The Cubs did go to his workout. Remember, he was on. He had to do a workout to entice people to sign him. I believe the White Sox, basically turned him down. And he was out there as a free agent for a month or two. And then he had to do like a workout to show that he was. Remember, do you remember at the end of last year how Ricky brought him in?
As a relief, like, a relief spot.
I want to say the bases were loaded. It was like he brought him out for the first time out of the bullpen. He had not thrown out of the bullpen in forever. And he just come off the injured list from
and it was the dirtiest of innings.
It was the dirtiest high leverage inning that you could ever throw a guy back. And he put him out, and like I felt bad for Carlos Rodon that day. I think it was a September day last year.
I can remember saying, "What are you doing?"
Right. And this was one of the moments where you knew that the Sox had to look at themselves and say, we can't go on with Rick Renteria anymore.
Yeah, we got to make it a manager.
No matter how good the culture is and how he reset the culture. And Carlos Rodon goes in front of throwing for these teams, signing a $3 million one-year deal, to now maybe becoming a difference-making pitcher in the rotation. And why do we always say the Sox are as good as they are despite losing three starters, two of them as good as any player in that lineup? It's because they throw a difference-making starter nearly every night.
It's hard to go on a losing streak when your starting pitching is as good as theirs is.
And Rodon all of a sudden is a Cy Young candidate. You know, him and Lynn. Lynn goes tonight. When you add a Cy Young candidate, I know the other stories are great. Kimbrel is up there, too. Like, to be able to shut down teams now in the ninth, to go from watching Kimbrel the first 2 years in a Cubs uniform, and I know he was he was better last year towards the end. He was never like this. Like, the stuff that he's throwing right now at the end of games, that the way he's fooling guys. Remember, he was tipping pitches before people knew what was coming, and his arm angle has changed. Like, maybe he's even number two, but I think Carlos Rodon is the number one.
I think it's fair. I think it is. There have been, as you mentioned, there have been so many good baseball stories to this point. And you feel great for the guy as well. He's gone through a series of injuries. Like, his velocity got down to like 90, didn't it, because of the shoulder issue?
No, he's throwing 100.
Yeah. I mean, it's good to see things like that happen for sure.
If you want to weigh and talk Chicago baseball with us, 332-3776. If you were at Wrigley Field over the weekend and you just took in the scene, whether you were a part of the Cup Snake in the bleachers that we all got to see on national TV, the party atmosphere. I was talking to a couple friends of mine this weekend who just said, like, even after the game, it was like a playoff atmosphere because people were just so joyful to be out again and to be with people and to be celebrating Cubs wins against the Cardinals.
It helps that your baseball team is doing work.
Of course it does.
I think you still would have had a very enthusiastic crowd and people would have been out there enjoying themselves. But if you couple that with how well they're playing and them sweeping the Cardinals, then I think it's the perfect storm of joy.
It's that you just said it. I was going to say that too. It's the perfect storm. Like, this is a team that is completely overachieved. This is a team that has thrown a monkey wrench into possible plans that the owner or the president had for them.
Yep.
And not only are they really, really good, just when you thought regression was coming, just when you thought they go out on the West Coast and they lose those first few games to the Giants, they lose 4 out of 5. What do? They say, no. Don't think this is regression. We're going to win the last two in San Diego, and then we're going to come back and we're going to sweep our rivals, the Cardinals, to distance ourselves from them. And we're going to do it in front of 100% capacity with the weather beautiful. There wasn't like a care in the world out there this weekend.
I think of two nationally televised games too, right? Was it Saturday and Sunday, both nationally televised?
You never get Saturday night games. No. And like we had the Saturday night game was national TV on Fox, and then it was Sunday night baseball last night to complete the sweep. Both teams swept over the weekend.
And you got yourself a Cup Snake, which I think thrilled you, didn't it?
Well, I've been following the Cup Snake stuff for a few years now.
Yeah.
And like the South Side had a good Cup Snake earlier in the year, too. And I do have, I don't know, maybe Abdallah Bleck can help me on this, on where the Cup Snake originated. Whether it was a Chicago thing, is it a Barstool thing? Is it I know I saw it at an XFL game, but the controversy over cup snakes on the north side has been for a few years now that they've tried to do cup snakes and they usually kick people out for doing cup snakes.
Why is it a not being a friendly spectator? Is okay. It? I don't know why. What is
according to Wikipedia, which is a great source for everything. I suggest every youth use it solely for their papers.
You're right. Research.
Research.
Yeah. Put everything that in the footnote.
Everything in Wikipedia is true, right? The first recorded beer snake occurred in January of 1997 at the WACA Cricket Ground in Perth, Australia.
Wow.
A newspaper article in the Sydney Morning Herald cited Michael Gray as the snake charmer and architect of the social phenomenon. Did you know? Yesterday's cup snake. Now, this is for you, Sylvie. This is for every Cubs fan. This is for Tom Ricketts.
This is for bragging rights?
That cup snake yesterday.
Biggest cup snake ever?
No, but it cost about $30,000.
In beer sales.
Yeah,
that's incredible.
So let's not... a couple more snakes, maybe. Maybe you can get a reliever at the deadline or something. I don't know. Maybe that's another year for Javi. I don't know.
Or is somebody just sneaking into the concession areas and stealing cups and not actually purchasing?
This is an authentic, organic snake.
Or so you think. I don't know.
I don't think they give those cups away. Those cups cost money.
I know.
They got to do a little inventory.
I'm saying that maybe there's some thievery.
I worked at a concession stand back in the day, Waddle.
Yeah.
It wasn't fun. And we also recycled the nacho cheese and the popcorn, where we brought it back the next day.
Yummy.
There was at the Skokie Stadium.
Yeah.
There were some practices that were not too great in the early 80s.
Yeah.
One of my first jobs when I was like 14 or 15. And the
film that you get on old nacho cheese.
Yeah.
Just
reheat it and stir it. Just stir the film in. That's what they taught us.
Yeah.
And we also had to do the inventory, which sucked. You had to count the cups, count the containers, though all those containers and cups cost money. And they had to make sure that it matched up at the end of the day.
Let me ask you the question, though, because the cup snake was predominantly in the bleachers, right? I mean, it was in the bleachers,
yes.
Correct?
Yeah, most of the time they're in.
How many seats are in the bleachers? So you're going to tell me the area where that was?
000?
So how did you get...
Isn't that a trick question? There are no seats in the bleachers.
That's true. Very good.
All right, good. How many cups do you think... How many cups were involved? Like if you said there's $30,000 worth of beer, I'm just wondering if...
Funny you should ask.
Yeah. What the...
Yeah, it's our Cup Snake hotline.
Is that the Cup Snake? Hello?
Hello. We are Cup Snake Central.
I don't think anyone else can hear it, though. That does not sound good.
No, it sounds like
I don't know if people can hear that.
It kind of sounds like a fire alarm of some sort or something. No?
Yeah. Okay.
Oh, it's off.
All right.
Nope, it's kind of off. Okay.
All right.
So apparently this cup snake was around 100 feet long, 2 cups an inch. I don't do math.
2 cups an inch.
12 inches an inch.
12 inch, 2 cups. That doesn't really make sense.
No.
2 cups an inch, though. I'm reading from NBC Chicago. NBC Chicago's no Wikipedia, guys.
I'm just wondering, is that like a beer per person in the bleachers, or is it a couple beers?
I think it does encourage people to drink more beers so they can add to the cup snake, which is good for Tom Ricketts, and maybe that's why they're finally not ruining cup snakes.
This week I had my own cup snake at my house. It was like 40 feet long. It was just me.
Oh, you just did it? Yeah.
Yeah, just me drinking beer.
Just playing with your own cup snake?
Yeah.
Notable examples of the cup snake, according to Wikipedia, January 20th, 2013 is believed the longest ever cup snake was created during a 2-hour rain delay in Australia.
Wow, this is Australia really is like the home of the cup snake.
175 meters long. I don't know what that is in feet. Do the math. I'm not here for math.
3.5 feet to me?
Yeah,
whatever.
Like that.
I don't care.
It's like a yard.
March 8th, 2020, during an XFL game between the DC Defenders and the St. Louis Battlehawks at Audi Field.
I remember that. Yes.
There's only 14 people there.
1,237 cups long. XFL Commissioner Oliver Luck also contributed to the snake.
That's what I remember
with
that.
With his own cup. June 4th.
He's still trying to get paid.
Yeah.
He's still trying to get his money.
Right, it's because they spent all the money on the cups.
June 4th, 2021. There's the Cup Snake hotline going again.
June 4th, 2021.
Toronto Blue Jays played in Buffalo.
If that is an alarm, we need to change it. Because that doesn't have me like worried about anything.
Sounds like the ringer.
Sounds like a celebration.
Seems friendly.
Yeah, it seems like it's a friendly alarm. Like, oh, you know what? There's a spark over here. It's not actually a fire. It's a little warm.
Don't worry about it.
Yeah.
It's a cell phone ringer for the old people. You You know, they always have the old school, hello, really loud ringer.
Hello. The fans in Buffalo constructed a 291 cup beer snake during a 13-1 blowout loss. And finally,
291 cups is no big deal.
Finally, recently added to the Wikipedia page on beer snake, June 13th, 2021.
Yes.
The Chicago Cubs fans formed a, quote, insanely long beer snake in celebration.
How long is insanely long?
It just says insanely long.
It was added to Wikipedia. All right, so 3-3-2-3-7-7-6, Baseball City, USA. Best story in Chicago baseball this year. Were you part of the Cubs snake? And we have put a scientific poll out there whether you are a fan of the Cubs snake or not. We'll talk about the big Sox Rays series, big Cubs Mets series. We have two first place teams and a lot to get after on Waddle and Sylvie.
Chicago's home for sports is on Twitch. Follow ESPN 1000 Chicago today.
You're listening to Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
In town tonight, too, and we'll have the game. It is can't miss. Waddle is super excited for the pitching matchup.
Dude, this is like a playoff game in June. You've got Glasnow and Lynn, two fantastic pitchers. They're the two best teams in the American League. Like, I get it. It's a game in the middle of June. But, like, if you're a baseball fan and you like pitching matchups,
this is
candy.
How about matchups between two great baseball teams?
Well, that's what I mean. It's just like you have had other games throughout the course of this season when you had two really good pitchers, but were those pitchers on the two best teams in all of a league? Like, these are the two best teams in the American League, the two best records in the American League. Tampa Bay's got the best rate. Tampa's got the best record. The Sox have the second best record. And these are the two of the best pitchers in all of the American League. This is a phenomenal mid-June baseball game.
Yep. And if you are at Wrigley over the weekend, want to hear from you, that it's as good as it gets this weekend, where you have not been at a game maybe for a year and a half, and now it's 100. Like, I still have the stop and show my wife moment. We're watching the game, and I go, look at this. I go, babe, look at that cutaway. Look at it. Look how great that looks. Like, hard to believe that we're back 100%. It's so awesome. And, like, I'm still in awe of it, to see people together, people having fun, people going crazy at the same time, whether it's Rizzo's home run on Friday, whether it's a sweep on Sunday, and them showing a beer cup snake on national TV. Can we play that black? This was last night, Sunday night baseball. Everyone marveling at what the bleachers were up to.
Underneath that cup snake. Some serious dedication, because it's being handled and they're being stacked. You see this stream of beer coming out, spilling all over the people underneath it.
So, I mean, I think some fans have contributed actually a full or a half beer. Not just empty cups in there. They're all empty now, of course. I mean, are people just dying to be out doing stuff now?
He's right. And I'll tell you, that the sound of that, the sound of those chants, the when you see the video of that, that is just the scene of a party. That is a scene of people who are just so happy to be back at a baseball game, to be back having fun, drinking beer with friends again. And it's what it should be.
Yeah. Good time.
Absolutely great. So I polled the question. I don't wonder if Buster only ever thought he'd be reporting during a game on a cup snake. Said, are you a fan of the cup snake? And I gave you three answers. Yes, no, or I'm indifferent. The old Jay Cutler, don't care.
Yeah, that's where I'm at.
You don't care?
I don't. They don't make me angry. They don't get me warm and fuzzy. They just, okay, if you want to go to a ball game and be part of a cup snake, have at it. Have at it.
33.5% are with you, Waddle, saying that they are indifferent. People, more than the majority of people, like it. They are fans of it. 51.6%. Michael Jr. responded to the poll question saying, is there anyone who doesn't like it? And I said, Junior, I go, you've been at this long enough.
Yeah.
There are people who dislike everything.
Yeah,
it doesn't matter. Like, we've never gotten 100% on a poll question.
No, we have not.
15%, nearly 15% of the voters say they don't like it. You know, I've heard people, they want to watch the game.
It's the same people that rage against the wave.
Yeah, I mean.
No, I don't rage against the wave either. Just do me a favor.
I don't like the wave, but I don't care.
Don't do the wave like in the bottom of the eighth and there's a really important moment in the game because I want to watch if I'm there for it. But it, like, you want to do the wave and before the first pitch of the inning's thrown, have at it.
Look, if the Cup Snake came to the main concourse, to the regular seats, and I'm there to watch the game, I may be like, guys, all right, get all this stuff away from me. But if you're in the bleachers, you know why you're there. You're there to watch a great baseball game and to have fun. It's the bleachers.
I mean, I'd be willing to contribute.
Oh, yeah, you would. Here, I got eight over here.
Yeah,
it's the second inning.
I got a half dozen empty cups. You guys need these?
Yeah.
Here, take them and have fun.
Gary on 80, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Gare?
I think the story has to be just Chicago baseball. The Sox with their next man up mentality and the Cubs going from buyers or from sellers to buyers. I think it's an incredible story. And I can't wait for the Crosstown Classic.
Ooh, that's true.
When not until August. It's late this year.
You got a three-game set early in August, and then I think you got another three-game set in the third week of August.
Yeah, I like it that it's late and it's going to be meaningful.
You know what the Cubs have done? It's the stupid phrase I always use. They've changed the narrative. They've gone from a team that we all expected to be sellers at the trade deadline. They've changed the narrative because they're, 10 or 11 games over 500 right now?
Right. And like he said, too, and what the White Sox are doing without their guys, they continue to play well after massive injuries.
Yeah.
Like their record, Chuck Garfine was showing it on NBC Sports Chicago. Like they went on a run like right after the Robert injury, too. You're like, oh, Robert's showing that he's got a better eye. He's fantastic. He's going to take the next step. And then they lose him and they start winning more. And then Madrigal goes out, and they continue to win.
Brian Goodwin steps in and hits a home run, drives in five in his first game as a White Sox player.
Look, Garcia's playing better. Like, there are so many guys who have filled in.
The Cubs have done the same thing. They sign Duffy. Duffy goes out. Wisdom comes in. Alcantara comes in. I mean, like, the Cubs have done the same thing. And it's just, it's been a joyous several weeks for Chicago baseball.
For those who say, hey, sometimes sports fans complain too much. This is a time where you just, on an 85-degree day, the sun's out, take a breath, and you say, look how much fun this has been so far for over 2 months in the city of Chicago for baseball. What is that? Is
Shauna.
That Shauna? My eyes are going. My seeing is gone. I need to see the eye doctor. Shauna in Uptown, you're on ESPN 1000.
Hey, I was actually at the game right where the Snake Cups were happening, and it was so much fun. It was honestly more entertaining than the game.
Really? I mean, it was a good game. It was a good,
No. I mean, this was going on probably from like the fifth inning, and I mean, the entire bleachers were into it. It was actually longer than what they caught on ESPN.
So you're saying that the camera doesn't do the size of the snake justice?
Mm-mm. Interesting.
No way. People were throwing cups from all over. Security did try to stop it many times. And they did break it a few times. Yes, a few times it broke.
What is the theory behind not allowing the cup snake to happen?
I think they were scared because when people throw the cups, they hit people.
That's interesting.
People are throwing them at you.
Well, my hope is they're empty.
Yeah, but still, I mean, and then at the end, when the whole thing breaks, the cups go flying everywhere.
All right.
Yeah. And then does everyone run or does everyone do their civic duty and pick up the cups?
No, everyone gets covered in beer.
Yeah, that's the thing.
Yeah.
How many were you responsible to adding to the cup snake?
Well, I collected from around, so probably I would say 20, 30.
Wow.
And I didn't even, and that's nothing. I mean, people were collecting from all over the bleachers.
How often do you sit in the bleachers?
Usually when I go, I sit in the bleachers.
So where did this rank last night's atmosphere for a party in general?
I would say it was up there.
Yeah.
It was, besides the playoff games that I've been to, this was up there. The crowd was into everything. We did the wave a few times. It didn't really pick up, though. And everyone was chanting for the cups. It was, pass your cups. So it was really, really fun. I'm really excited to go back to games and that they're in full capacity.
All right. Shauna, thank you. We appreciate it.
Thank you, Shauna. Fred Huebner's on line five. He's got the exact opposite.
Of course he does.
Perspective.
Ryan, another Cup Snake builder. We have all the architects of the Cup Snake and construction workers. Ryan, you're on ESPN 1000.
Hey, boys. How you doing? Love the show.
Thank you.
Sylvie, you got to loosen up, man. I mean, come
on.
I lived with you. About the Cup Snake in the regular section, you'd be like, oh, come on, get out of here. I lived with you on Canal, and you wouldn't let anybody pet your dog either. Really?
That's true.
Come on.
Well, look, Cosmo didn't like it.
I know. Cosmo was fine with me, though. But anyway,
all right.
Cup Snake was amazing. Cups were coming from all over. Oddly enough, a customer of mine saw me on TV and called me this morning, and he's been an usher there for 5 years or so, and was telling me that the reason why they try to break it up, which is pretty obvious, is because people complain about beer getting spilled on them. But I mean, there's a little bit of security last night, but cups were coming from all over. It was amazing.
All right, and then
top three experience. And Sylvie, loosen up a little bit.
Well, Ryan, the next time maybe in a year or two, I'm going to get another puppy for my kids. But I got to make sure I house train my kids before we get a dog. I will let you again pet my dog.
Oh, I can't wait. I appreciate that. Thank you.
Okay. See you, Ryan.
Take care, boy.
There you go. Yeah, we live at 165 North Canal.
Don't touch my dog.
Cosmo would have issues in the elevator with other dogs.
Did he ever bite?
He had Napoleon syndrome. Is that what it's called?
Complex.
Yeah, kind of like me.
So he wanted
dog would rush into the elevator, the hair, he was a Jack Russell.
Right.
They're feisty to begin with, and he'd get all
calm. He was always calm when I was there. I always saw him. He's very calm.
You're the dog whisperer.
I am.
332-3776. We'll continue to talk Chicago baseball.
Don't pet my dog.
Jason Hayward also says, hey, you fans who are concerned about me, I'm concerned about you. We'll explain next.
It can be sad when you miss your favorite interview. Don't despair. Podcasts are ready on the all-new ESPN Chicago app. It's Waddle and Sylvie.
ESPN 1000.
Talking about the great baseball, appreciating it, soaking it in literally from everyone's beer pouring on you in the bleachers from the Cup Snake. Great matchup tonight for the White Sox with Tampa in town. It's a great matchup to see where the measuring stick is. We've got it. You hear it exclusively right here on ESPN 1000, 6:30 pregame right after Black and Abdallah. I don't really want to spend a lot of time on it. I was arguing with a lot of people because I haven't argued about it. I'm just tired of the conversation because I don't feel like it's just like a lot of the things that have been going on in society today. It's a conversation that one side has one opinion, the other side has another opinion, and no one wants to listen to anybody. And I'm kind of just like, I see both sides of it and I just want to go about my day, you know? So Jason Hayward did an interview. Was that a Zoom call, Abdallah, or was this a Tribune exclusive, the article that they came out? Don't know. Oh, it was a Zoom. So he did a Zoom press conference. And we love Jay Hay because he's always been candid with us.
Yeah.
And he said, I'm not vaccinated. He's another one. We know now a few guys who aren't vaccinated on the Cubs. The Rizzo news was surprising to a lot of people. And Jason Hayward said, I'm not vaccinated. We get tested
three times a week.
And his thought process was, you guys are more worried about us as players than you are about who you're sitting next to at a ball game. So we're at 100% capacity, and you don't know who you're sitting next to or who you're with or who's vaccinated or who's not vaccinated. Now, obviously, the counter argument to that is the competitive advantage. And that's the lane that we sort of talked about with Rizzo, is that if you do get infected at an important time of the season, or
protocol's different for you if you haven't reached the 85% threshold.
So that Jay Hay was like, hey, you guys are making too big of a deal about me and about Rizzo and about everybody else. You guys need to think more about who's who, well, in your world, is vaccinated.
I think what I read and what I took from the article and listening to what Jay Hay had to say, his perspective was, look, we get tested 3 times a week. We know the risk. We handled it last year and didn't have any problems. We live our lives. I live my life the same way I did now than I did last year. We understand the protocol, and this is the path that they have taken. Look, again, I'm with you. I don't feel necessary to go through the process again. I got my 2 shots. I got vaccinated. I looked at the pros and the cons. I'm 54 years old. I made the decision. I'm happy. I'm comfortable with my decision. Everybody's got to go through the same process. People are in a different situation. I do believe there is a competitive advantage for those that have reached this threshold of 85%. I just think it's common sense. I'll use common sense as my beacon. The protocol that you have to follow if you're beyond the 85% versus the protocol you follow below 85% is significantly different.
Yeah.
That's just, I mean, like, that's factually correct, is it not?
Yeah, so it is. It is.
It's not just about the inconveniences of not being able to go out and do different things. That may be something that is involved as well. But on the field, I'm not talking about being able to go out to dinner when you're traveling in a different, you know, town. I'm talking about the protocol that you have to follow as a team is different based on what your vaccination rate.
Yeah, I'm interested in talking to a member of the White Sox one day soon about how they feel it has helped them that they're over it. Or do they not see a difference? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because everyone says it's a competitive advantage. But I'd rather just appreciate the good baseball. The White Sox swept the Tigers. Tampa's in town. We've got a Cy Young-type matchup tonight going on the South Side. The Cubs are going up against the Mets. They just swept the Cardinals. They did exactly what I asked them to do. They have a team in the Cardinals that could be thrown up against the ropes. I'm not counting them out. This isn't like when the Twins fell to 10 below with the White Sox winning 5 out of 6 against them. But I wanted them to step on this team's throat. They're injured. They're banged up. They're not playing well. I wanted them to come to town, and I wanted the Cubs to flex their muscle and step on their throat. And boy, Zach Davies gave me a good performance.
Second time in a row. I think he pitched very – didn't he pitch well in San Diego well?
Yes,
he did. So did Jake. Jake pitched well in San Diego.
And he goes tonight.
Jake gets the ball tonight. See if you can string a couple of good starts together.
Bob on the South Side. You're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Bob? Hey, Bobby. Bob.
Bob.
See if he's there.
Bob. Bobby.
Bob.
Yo, Bob.
He was going to tell us why some people don't like the cup snake, and I get it.
They're afraid of snakes?
No, they're afraid of having someone else's beer spilled on them. Like,
exactly
I get
what
it.
He was saying. He's like, if you take your kid to the bleachers, is what he was saying. If you take your kid to the bleachers and the cup snake breaks or someone throws, and then maybe it has that little bit of beer in it.
Oh, there's more than a little bit of beer.
You can get more distance if there's a little beer in it. I'm not saying you should do that. I'm just saying that you can get more distance because it's heavier. And so he was saying the kids will get beer on them, and that's why security probably breaks them up, and that's why some
people... Well, I mean, like, I'm a 54-year-old. I'm not even a kid, but, parents, like, I don't want your beer or whatever swills in there. It's part beer. It's part of your saliva, to be honest with you. And I know if I buy tickets and go in the bleachers, there's a greater chance of that happening, but I'm still not signing up for it.
Listen, I don't have kids, but I like to tell people how to raise them. I'm not taking my kid to the bleachers.
Yeah, I probably would not.
That's
what
I was going to ask. Parents, adults in the room here. Yeah. You guys have kids. Yeah.
I was taking to the bleachers as a kid.
Well,
I think that's where you learn life lessons.
Before you got sorority.
We addressed this last week.
What life lessons are you learning in the bleachers?
Do you know how much more I learned in the bleachers with my grandfather than I did at Mrs. Brenner's 7th grade history class?
Well, you weren't watching the teacher do what she was doing.
This is about street smarts. This is about how people act. I'll never forget seeing my first drunk person at the Chicago Stadium. I must have been 6 or 7, and this guy was, and my grandfather gave me an education on why he was walking this way. These are life lessons you can't duplicate anywhere else. You can't do it on YouTube. You've got to have a real life experience in the bleachers. But look, if you do take your kid to the bleachers, I also think it's like that buyer beware that you have to understand there's going to be language. Like, if you're mad at anyone swearing in the bleachers, then you're in the wrong spot.
Yeah. I think you can make the same argument to a kid being taken to a Monday night or Thursday night Bears game.
Of course.
Yes. That's a different crowd than you get.
On Sunday at noon.
Sunday at noon, yeah, absolutely.
I'm just saying, I can understand. Look, it's buyer beware. When you go into the hornet's nest, don't be shocked if you get stung, okay? You do come in with your eyes
open. That's what
open.
You're saying the beer snake is now?
Well, I'm just saying, if you go into the hornet's nest, there's a chance you could get stung by a hornet. I think if you go into the bleachers, there's a chance. I'm just saying to you, I can understand why someone wouldn't want somebody else's saliva in the end of your beer poured on them. I think that I have a little bit of a, you know, a soft spot for people who don't want that.
Our buddy Dre in Denver. Dre, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up, pal?
Hey, guys. I was listening to Cap this morning, and he was adamant about the White Sox. I couldn't call him, but he was adamant about the White Sox making a move. And you did a poll. No, actually, it was during a baseball game with Lynn and Darren. They did a poll, or it was Connor did a poll about what do you want the White Sox to do. And I don't know if you bring in the baseball experts, a big baseball talk show into this conversation, if you like, Adam and our guy Black. What do you? I don't think that they should do anything. They've proven that they can overcome fielding things. I think pitching is the only thing, because I'm looking at this team. You're going to lose after this year. You might lose Lynn and you might lose Rodon. They're free agents. I don't think they should. Cap was saying if they don't know the diagnosis of Roberts and Jimenez by July, he should the Han should do something. I'm looking at the minor league. I think we got a good minor league. I think Han is picking up the right guys. What do you think? I just don't see it.
Trey, thanks. I am not in a rush. I am definitely not in a rush as long as they keep on winning and these backups are playing well and they're fortifying the lineup and the pitching is going to carry you anyway. I still, around July 31st, if it's not costing me a premium, pick up one of these guys that will solidify you as from a you because you cannot get into the playoffs and then all of a sudden none of them are back. Right. Do you know what I mean? Who's the kid? The kid from Pittsburgh,
Frazier. I'm just pulling up his numbers
now. Another one of these guys that may not be Trevor Story or Chris Bryan, who could be available, but guys who fit you perfect. It's like Castellanos. How often did you hear Castellanos' name with Detroit 4 years ago when the Cubs were interested, and how big of a difference maker did he turn out to be?
Huge. Frazier's, you know, a career 280 hitter. He's a career 345 on base percentage, good defensively, left-handed bat.
Can play all over, infield, outfield.
So, I mean, a guy like that, I don't think you're going to have to mortgage your future for someone like that.
Yeah, and I get, and then if they all come back, fine. But but I think you have to bolster things up.
I'm with you. I mean,
not now.
Like Dre was saying, like this pitching staff may not come back in this current form next year. This is a World Series winning type of staff to this point, this rotation. So I'm not suggesting you mortgage anything, but to add something here, a guy like Frazier that can give you some breathing room, I wouldn't think would be a bad decision.
Phone number to reach us to talk to us. Want to hear from you at 312-332-3776. And with most guys, there's usually a problem when you measure your snake. And I believe that's the issue now. I'll tell you about that next.
It's a lot better than the 10 Zoom meetings you've been on today.
This may take a couple of days, maybe more.
Tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000 and listen to Waddle and Sylvie on Chicago's home for sports.
ESPN 1000.
By the way, welcome to everyone. No matter where you're listening, the ESPN Chicago app, take it with you. Get your live shows from ESPN 1000. You get your on-demand shows. So if you miss our show, you want the podcast, anything on demand, right at the touch of a button. We also got the...
Right on the button.
I believe we're going to do the pod this week early. Crosstalk Unhinged. Huge. People love it.
Can't wait for it. You got to get it done.
We're going to get it done tomorrow. So because we've got stuff at the end of the week. So we're going to be dropping a new Crosstalk Unhinged fairly early this week. So be on the lookout for that. Shout out to everyone on Twitch. Great group in there as always. It's a way that you can watch, listen, and also react in real time to the show. It's twitch.tv/ESPN1000. Chicago, I know a lot of you are back in your cars now, judging by the traffic. Make sure you preset us number one on your car radio, AM 1000 for the P1 Club. That's what we refer to as P1s. Preset one on your radio dial. So there's something going around, a picture of the cup snake. Abdal, I think, may have been quoting from something like this earlier. And you need to explain this to me because I think we're flaunting a fake size. I think we're making things, or at least the way we're measuring, I don't believe we're measuring things accurately.
Okay.
So it says the cup snake was 150 foot long. Fine. Whatever. 150 feet long. But they say there are roughly 24 cups per foot. And it comes out to $43,200 when you measure all that. My question is that when you do the math, you're telling me an inch is two cups? Because if it's 24 per cup.
I was told there'd be no math today.
Yeah, it's 12 times 2. So it's 2 cups is an inch. The 2 cups is not an inch. 2 cups, the from one rim of the cup to the other rim of the cup, that's like a it's a quarter of an inch, right?
Pardon the expression, yeah.
It's a third of an inch. Rim to rim, baby.
I think what you're trying to say is that the cup snake was a grower and not a shower.
Yeah, I think we're flaunted. I think we're exaggerating our size. I think many people have been caught doing this. What do you mean? 2 cups is an inch.
Let it be known on the record that the button man is not happy with the size of the cup snake given.
Here's 2 coffee cups.
Who's not happy about the?
The button man.
Button man.
Oh.
Yeah.
Is this really, I mean, who came up with 2 cups equals an inch?
Listen, if Sylvie was out there, he'd be, you know, he'd have
who
Dixie
came
cups.
Up with average?
If he could choose between the giant cup snake or a couple of Dixie cups, my man over what here cups? Would have chosen Dixie
what?
Cups.
What cups?
Oh, Dixie yeah. cups.
It's when you put the elephant in the room.
Oh, okay.
Literally.
What is the elephant? Here, I'm trying to show you.
Yeah, sure. That's not an inch.
These are 2 coffee cups.
Yeah. 4 cups is probably an inch,
okay,
right?
Okay, so what you're saying is if we're measuring,
What if you don't put it all the way in there, though, Tom?
Well, then, I mean, that's how the cup snake
who's
is
enjoying
made,
that?
Though.
Who's really enjoying that, Chris?
And
the cup snake then has to be handled more.
If you're measuring it this way, then that's bigger than an inch. So you're measuring it from the rim to the rim. Rim to rim, like Cap used to say. And from one of the cups to the next. That's not an inch. This is so it is not 24 cups per foot.
Those the last 3 minutes of my life back ever? No? Okay, what do you say then? How many cups is...
They're saying 24 cups make up a foot. Now, okay. I'm calling
BS. But it
depends
on where you're measuring it. Because curve of the cup snake...
Really?
I mean,
promo code ESPN
they come,
for that?
I'm just saying, at the curve...
Blue2.com, guys.
Those
go to
rims
town.
Come apart. But if you got it packed in there tightly...
That's what I'm saying. Like, you got that in there pretty tight there,
Tom. But I think that's how the cup
pulled out a little.
Yeah.
What if I did that? I mean, it's different. But
now you're playing the measuring game.
Yeah.
You know,
they're going to be together. Like, I bet you it's probably 5 for an inch.
I'd say 4 to 5 is an inch. Yeah.
So I think the math is wrong. That's all I'm saying. I'm not saying I'm pro.
At the end
cup
of the day,
snake.
What did we just decide?
Huh?
What did we just decide? I don't recall. So
that we're measuring the snake wrong.
That we want to remeasure.
We're exaggerating how large the snake is.
Okay, so you're saying that if you do the math, 24 cups per foot. You're suggesting
I don't think that's right.
Yeah, I'm with you. That would be I'm with you.
So you're saying that could be a $60,000 snake and
could
a $30,000
could be
snake.
Yeah, could be.
Yeah, if it's truly 150 feet long. And it went from the top of the scoreboard, or went not to the top of the scoreboard, it went towards the base of the scoreboard.
No, somebody
all
was
the way
scaling
down.
The scoreboard. Yes, somebody was rappelling down from the scoreboard with a giant snake.
Shauna told us it was much bigger in person than it was on TV.
And more enjoyable than the game.
I mean, usually it is.
Wrigleyville.
You would hope.
Wrigleyville.
There were a lot of stereotypes. I want to get to that here at 3 after the call. David first in Downers. You're on ESPN 1000. What's up, David?
Yeah, so 2 years ago, you guys were talking about taking kids. So I took my 16-year-old son, my dad, myself, and my brother. And on the way down there, I happened to tell him, like, hey, Barstool says you can't build cup snakes. So, of course, my 16-year-old says, that's my mission. I'm building a cup snake. So he starts asking everybody around him, hey, give me your cups. Give me your cups. He ends up building one probably, you know, 25, 30 feet. And, you know, the usher grabs him in about the seventh inning and tries to throw him out of the game or tries to throw him out of the park. And I go down there like, really? He's 16-year-old. You're throwing him out? He didn't know he could do this, even though, of course, he did. But they never gave a reason. They just said you can't do that and wanted to toss him out of the game.
David, it's their rules, but I mean, I think that's like Jokic getting thrown out of the game last night.
Yeah,
where
that was not good.
That's sort of like using your power for bad. Like, if you don't want cup snakes being made, I think you just break it up and you don't eject people. I mean, come on. People are just looking for a good time.
Yeah, and he even told him, like, hey, I'm trying to help you out. It's less you got to clean up at the end of the game.
Well, not unless everyone walks the cup snake into the cup snake garbage can.
That's the thing that everyone was saying is don't then throw it on the ground and make all the workers clean it up. It would be nice then,
if everybody takes a good portion of the snake and throws it away.
All right, coming up in 2 short minutes, because of the cup snake, I'm getting tweets of a lot of stereotypes from the north side. All right, or about the north side. And we will play you some great stuff from both sides of town and their sweeps. It's coming up in 2 short minutes.